Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
It is time for America's longest-running fantasy football show, Fantasy Football Weekly, an iHeartRadio production. I am your host, Paul Charchian from Fanball.com. My co-host today, Brian Johnson and Scott Fish. Hello, guys.
What's going on, Charch?
Hey, Charch.
We'll talk about Patrick Mahomes in just a moment, but over the course of the show, we will break down every game fantasy style like we always do, give you letter grades on every meaningful fantasy player, and an explanation for why that player got that grade so you can decide, are you on board with our thinking or not? Make your own decisions. We'll give you 9 players upon whom you can take a chance coming up next segment, and then we'll answer 3 tough questions, and we'll even jump into a time machine to identify the players everybody's going to be trying to pick up next week. But as it turns out, he's already on your team because you've been in the time machine. I'm going to run our time machine sound effect into the ground.
It's a solid sound effect.
That's a good time machine sound effect. Thank you, Brianne. We weren't sure. For a while, our time machine went blammo.
Yeah.
But really, it's not a very time
I could have just done the doo-doo-doo-doo from Wayne's World or the Doctor Who whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah, thing. Right. But, the Doctor Who one. It's grating, the Doctor Who one.
You're not a fan?
Not of the sound. I'm a fan of David Tennant. Not?
Oh, yeah.
He's the best.
Jodie Whittaker's good, too. I really like the new
Doctor. For sure. Let's start with Patrick Mahomes, guys. We believe that he's going to miss 3-ish games, but maybe it extends out to the bye week, which would mean 5.
Yeah.
So, there's a little bit of wiggle room on what this means.
Week 12 is Kansas City's bye.
Week 12 is their bye. I think we don't know if they would necessarily be rushing him back if they brought him back before the bye, but, a lot of teams use that bye to just get to 100%, and I wouldn't be surprised if they did that here. Now, that said,
so they're 5-2. They got the Packers and Vikings coming up.
Packers and Vikings.
Those could be rough with Matt Moore in there.
They could be. Those are 2 good pass defenses. Mm-hmm. That would make things tough no matter what.
I'm just trying to think of their record and their playoff chances and hopes.
Yeah, which is important in this, right? When you're secure in your record and your playoff hopes, it's a lot easier to bench your quarterback longer.
Well, their division sucks.
Yeah, that helps.
Big time.
Yeah, so that's
I mean, Oakland might be the second best team in that division right now.
Yeah, it's come to this for the poor Chargers with all the injuries.
Yep.
All right, so let's start here. For the games he's out, is Tyreek Hill an automatic start? Yes or no? Without Patrick Mahomes. And assuming Matt Moore's at the helm, and I think because it's a short enough injury, I don't think they're going to make a move at quarterback.
He's so explosive. I would have a hard time giving him less than a C on this show.
He still had a 57-yard touchdown with Moore last night. Right? Mm-hmm. But I think he's still an automatic start because these next few weeks are so bye week ridden and there's so many injuries. I have trouble believing you're going to bench him.
Okay,
even with Moore.
Same thing with Kelce, right? Even with Kelce,
tight end.
There's just no good tight ends. Whoever you'd be picking up to replace Kelce can't possibly be better than Kelce with Matt Moore. So he's going
to
be in.
Back to Hill very quickly. They're probably going to get creative in ways of getting him the ball, too, putting the ball in his hands,
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. We've seen him run jet sweeps with Hill a lot and do some other things, right? And Andy Reid's brilliant.
Yeah.
The running game, to me, is a real question mark here. It was already a very inconsistent running game. And now when you take the threat of the pass away and what Patrick Mahomes did to open up the field, I don't know that I'm going to be starting or giving a starting grade to McCoy or Williams anytime soon.
No, I barely could anyway.
Great.
That was
great
with
point.
Mahomes.
Yeah, right.
So, no.
Right.
Not a chance.
Okay, so I think we're in agreement on
McCoy
on those
is going to have to face Miami, which they don't until, I believe, week 17 again, right? So
yeah.
And then any other wide receiver, whether it's even a healthy Sammy Watkins, it's all matchup dependent at this point.
Are you dropping
Mahomes, I'm sorry.
Dropped Sammy Watkins, yes, no.
Probably. It depends on the scenario, of course. But he is droppable. Under the right circumstances.
He's absolutely droppable. Between factoring the inconsistency that comes with Sammy Watkins in with his own injury, Mahomes' injury, he's out. He's dead to us, right? Now, let me give you this one. You're an owner scenario. You're an owner with Patrick Mahomes and you're sub .500. Are you pushing? Are you trading him away to a playoff bound team?
I can see that move. I can see that move.
I can too.
Yeah,
because you need the help probably.
Yeah, it's your stuff. Don't play Miami. I was wrong on that.
They don't. And Mahomes' owners aren't necessarily above 500 this year. This is not like last year where if you had Mahomes, you're almost automatically over 500.
Right.
If you are above 500, I think, and you've got Mahomes, you just hold steady and you don't panic and you just wait this thing out.
My prospect might be able to help you with that.
Yeah, you've got an angle for premature speculation later on in this show. All right, so there's the quick breakdown on how we feel about Mahomes and all the other things related to the Chiefs, and it's a really tough break from Thursday night, but it could have been far, far worse, assuming things hold as expected. Let's jump into the matchups, beginning with the Los Angeles Rams taking on the Atlanta Falcons and what should be a point fest for everybody who started Jared Goff last week.
Yeah.
You know, you're feeling awfully burned, but Scott, here comes what should be the cure in the form of the Falcons.
Yeah, he did not look good last week. I think 78 passing yards, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Over the last four games, QBs are averaging 325 yards and 3.25 touchdowns against the Atlanta Falcons.
Unreal.
So I'm starting Goff here just based on matchup. Even though it's a road game, Goff doesn't usually play well in road games, but this is a road game. I'm willing to take the chance. So I do have an A grade on Goff. It's just the Atlanta Falcons defense is where I line that up. With Keanu Neal out, they're even worse.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Cooper Kupp, his main guy, an A grade. He had a bad week last week, but he had four straight 100-yard games before that. I think he gets back to where he was there. He's a guy that's played. He leads the team with 69 targets, by the way, Brian. Now you're sleeping.
Nice.
Over the last 3 weeks, the Falcons are allowing the most yards, touchdowns, and third most receptions to wide receivers, so I have all their wide receivers starting. I have a B grade on Cooks because deep speed guys like Will Fuller and even Damir Bird had a 58-yard catch last week.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, deep speed guys can exploit Atlanta, so I got a B grade on Cooks, and C has been a little Woods has been a little disappointing this year.
No touchdowns. That's more than a little disappointing.
Exactly. So I'm giving him a C grade just because the matchup's good enough. You should probably still start him. I have the tight ends on the bench. Gerald Everett, I know he had that 136-yard day the other day, but in his last 10 games, he has that game, and then he has 146 total yards in the other nine
games
combined.
I know.
So him and Higbee are on the bench. Todd Gurley, this is where it gets thorny here. If Todd Gurley goes, it looks like he's going to go. I expect them to only play him if he's healthy. And if he's healthy, he's going to get like 65% of the snaps, giving him a B grade, and I'm benching the other two. If he does not go, I'm giving both Brown and Henderson a C grade because I think they will have seen in the last game how much more explosive Henderson looked, and they'll give him a better split. Brown is more of the goal line guy and the two down guy, but Henderson can break off a big one against Atlanta's defense. I'm giving them both C grades if Gurley doesn't go. If Gurley goes, I'm throwing him on the bench.
Okay.
Over to the Atlanta side. We kind of mentioned it. This is the highest over-under of the week. 54-point over-under by Vegas. They expect a lot of point scoring. And Matt Ryan leads the NFL in pass attempts. 300-plus yards in every game. Multiple touchdowns in all but one game. Take away that defensive battle against the 49ers. They're just really good. Jalen Ramsey might be able to shut down Julio, but we got tight end one Austin Hooper and Calvin Ridley.
And is Jalen Ramsey going to play every play? I don't think so. He's been on the team for 6 days, 5 days.
The only scenario I can see them having him play extended is if they say, just go sit on Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Like any cornerback can go out there and just play man.
Right.
You know, so maybe that's what happens if he does play. Julio and him have no previous history. I'm still giving Julio an A. We'll talk about this later. I know. We won't talk about this later. But with how much Ryan is throwing, Julio is a safe option even against Jalen Ramsey. Wide receiver is the one area the Rams aren't being dealt death blows. Only four of top 65 yards all year, but that was Godwin, Evans, DJ Moore, and Michael Thomas.
Those are good receivers, but they're, Julio's in that conversation
Julio's
for sure.
Julio's in that conversation, so yeah. I'm still giving Julio a good grade here.
Mm-hmm.
Ridley a B grade, scored in four of his last six. With how high scoring this game is, I think that it's very likely he gets in the end zone again here.
Mm-hmm.
Sanu, I'm putting on the bench. Slot guys have not done well against the Rams, and Sanu's been a little inconsistent. Austin Hooper, we mentioned. He's tight end one right now.
He is.
He
might be the highest scoring. Well, in many leagues, he's the highest scoring tight end, and I think he's unbenchable.
Yeah, at least six catches in four straight. Kittle went for 103 against this Rams team. Disley for 81. Hooper, A-grade. In the running game, Devonta Freeman, I'm giving a B-grade to. He has at least 19 touches in three of the last four. Atlanta has allowed seven touchdowns to running backs in six games, and five of the six starting running backs to face them scored. So I think there's a good line here for Freeman.
Okay. That was a thorny matchup with a lot
really
of guys
thorny.
To get through, and with all the question marks at the Rams running back situation, yeah. I know that was a particularly tricky one. Let's go to Green Bay taking on Oakland, Brian. All three of the Green Bay Packers wide receivers, starting receivers, may miss this game.
Yeah. Let's get to the Green Bay side. After Oakland, Oakland's on the road here. Let's start with Josh Jacobs. I'm going to give him a B. Green Bay allowing nearly 5 yards per carry. Has surrendered the most rushing touchdowns to running backs. The one concern with Jacobs is the game script flips to the pass, and it's not all but guaranteed he gets the passing work out of the backfield. He did see a season-high three targets after John Gruden said they wanted to get him more involved in the passing game, but that's really the only concern with Jacobs. Also, his left tackle, Trent Brown, is questionable with the calf injury. Might miss this, but you're starting Jacobs either way. Definitely starting Darren Waller, even in a tough matchup. The Packers have allowed the fifth fewest receiving yards to tight ends. Only one tight end has topped 37 yards, and that was Zach Ertz. Waller is working his way into that tier, and Green Bay will be without free safety Darnell Savage, so Waller is safe B here. Tyrell Williams is out, so he's definitely on your bench. I'm not going to advocate for Hunter Renfrow or the newly acquired Zay Jones from Buffalo. They're on the bench as well, and so is Derek Carr. Even the legendary Darren Waller cannot carry Carr to fantasy relevance. Over to the Green Bay side, Aaron Jones gets a C. So much for the bell cow status. Lost a fumble last week.
Ugh.
Dropped a touchdown.
So disappointing.
Got out-snapped by Jamal Williams, 49% to 53%.
Yeah.
Out-touched, 15 to 18. And this is not a good matchup, believe it or not. According to Football Outsiders, Oakland is ranked 6th against the run. And over their last two games, they've held Marlon Mack and David Montgomery to a combined 64 yards on 22 carries on the ground. So Jamal Williams, I think you got to give him a C here. As you already mentioned, Charch, and I'm going to talk about it more, the Packers are basically out of wide receivers. So Williams could have an expanded role. Coming off arguably the best game of his career, and Tariq Cohen and Nyheim Hines each had 6 receptions against Oakland over their last two games, so Williams is a factor in PPR. Devontae Adams, not going to factor most likely. He's doubtful with that toe injury.
I don't think he's
not going to go. Geronimo Allison and Marquise Valdez-Scantling, both on the wrong side of questionable as well. Let's just assume they don't go.
Right.
That leaves Alan Lazard and Jake Kumerow and Darius Shepard. Lazard had 4 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown in the quote-unquote comeback win on Monday Night Football. And his target total matched that of Kumerow and Shepard combined. So I'll give Lazard the C here. He was my take-a-chance-on-me runner-up at wide receiver, but did not make the cut.
I'm actually a little shocked that you, with your revenge game and birthday game, didn't even mention that they picked up Ryan Grant this week, who played for Oakland, that maybe some inside info.
Is it his birthday, too?
I don't know. If
it was, then I'd give him an A. Who is not getting an A is Jimmy Graham, and this is it for Jimmy Graham. If he does not produce here, his fantasy relevance is dead. He should be dropped in every league and never added again. Oakland allowing 60 yards per game to tight ends. They've allowed 3 scores to the position over their last 4. So if Graham doesn't do anything here, cut ties entirely for eternity. And Aaron Rodgers, just going to get a C here, has a ragtag crew of receivers. It's still Aaron Rodgers at home, though. Oakland is ranked 26th against the pass by Football Outsiders.
Yep.
They've allowed multiple touchdown passes in 3 of 5. The 2 quarterbacks who failed to do so were Joe Flacco and then Kirk Cousins in a blowout win, so Rodgers a soft C.
It is a soft C.
C minus?
No.
Minus, minus.
Here's the thing. You go back 12 games, Aaron Rodgers is barely a touchdown per game. Barely a touchdown per game. And you take his number one, number two, and number three receivers off the field, and then Jimmy Graham's on the field? That's 4 pretty big strikes against you. I don't know. I can't advocate starting.
There'll be better starters we'll unearth in the next segment in TACOM, that's for sure.
Yeah, Take a Chance on Me coming up next. We'll give you some better players that you can work with. Everything Charge. Hey, that's me. Everything Charge is available at fanball.com by going to fanball.com/charge. You get instant access to my free weekly rankings, my free $1,000 weekly contest, all of our podcasts. It's your portal to guillotine leagues as well. Again, fanball.com/charch. Coming up next, it's a segment we call Take a Chance on Me. Nine players, not normally startable, but you'll start this week, and many of them are available on the waiver wire. You're listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. On me, Fantasy Football Weekly. Take a chance on me, the royalty-free version. Nine players not normally in your starting lineup, many of whom are available on the waiver wire. When these quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers hit pay dirt, you pay us nothing. No royalties involved in Take a Chance on Me.
I wouldn't mind if they did, though. Can we?
I would be nice if it were a tipping situation.
I think we could set up a GoFundMe or something. Let's do that.
Let's. Well, especially if we hit them.
I didn't earn much last week,
yeah,
I have to admit.
Maybe not. We'll do better this week, beginning at the quarterback position. And Brian Johnson, who you got?
I got Indy's Jacoby Brissett at home versus the Texans. The Texans have partaken in some point orgies over the last couple weeks. Their offense is red hot. And so the over-under of 47.5 is very enticing for this game. And for the record, these teams totaled 116 points across their two regular season games last year. So they like to run up the score. Mm-hmm. Jacoby's playing great football. He is one of 10 quarterbacks with double-digit touchdowns this season. But he's the only one of those 10 quarterbacks who have his bye week. So he's ahead of the pace right now. And Houston owns the second highest opponent passing play percentage at precisely 68.01%.
Wow.
Obviously, I'm going to round that up to 69%. Anyone want to throw in a nice there? Fish, you're sleeping
nice.
At the handle.
Nice.
Very nice. Not very nice at all. And really, the Texans secondary is not good. They've allowed multiple passing touchdowns in three of their last four. Kyle Allen was the one quarterback that failed to throw multiple touchdown passes. Starting corners Bradley Roby and Jonathan Joseph are battling injuries, limited in practice all week. And lastly, Brissett is sixth among quarterbacks in rushing attempts. And although Houston hasn't truly been tested by a mobile quarterback this year, they did surrender 56 rushing yards to Gardner Minshew on six carries, and Matt Ryan rushed for a touchdown a couple weeks ago.
Wow. Well, that's it for the segment. That is the longest ever Take a Chance on Me readout.
That was a lot.
I don't even remember who we're talking about anymore.
All right. Are we redoing it then?
Who was it?
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. Good heavens, man.
All right.
Jeez.
Let me do that one more time.
I'll help you, Charge.
All right. Thank you. We'll zip these along. Good heavens. Scott, your Take a Chance on Me quarterback is?
I got Daniel Jones. He looked bad over the last few weeks. Not bad, but 225 yards and only three touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. But the Cards are the worst in the NFL against fantasy quarterbacks. Multiple passing touchdowns in all but one game.
Yes.
Third most passing yards. Have not intercepted a pass yet this year.
But wait, Patrick Peterson's back.
Yeah. Patrick Peterson is back, but I think it's still going to be okay for Daniel Jones. Second most passing touchdowns allowed, the Cardinals. It's going to be a good matchup for him.
I've got Gardner Minshew going up against the Bengals. Bengals are going to be without both starting cornerbacks in this game, Drake Kirkpatrick and William Jackson. And the Bengals will let you beat them on the ground and through the air. Kyler Murray, 93 rushing yards and a rushing score. Lamar Jackson, 152 rushing yards and a rushing score against the Bengals. And then you can pass on them as well. We saw Jimmy Garoppolo with his only three touchdown game of the year. Mason Rudolph threw two. Gardner Minshew by ground and by air. He's fleet of foot, you know.
Not by sea, though.
Not by sea. No. Well, I'd like to see it happen.
That'd be cool.
It could happen. He could get a C grade. And
ooh,
then, how
I
about
like
that?
It. There,
okay.
It all comes around. There it is.
Brian, who is your Take a Chance on Me running back?
Philly's Miles Sanders at the Cowboys. This matchup sets up nicely on paper for Sanders, who has established himself as the clear pass-catching back over their last two games. Here's Philly's target distribution among their running backs. Eight for Sanders, one for Darren Sproles, who's not going to play in this game most likely.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of the list. No one else has a target among running backs. So the Cowboys are second in targets and red zone targets yielded to running backs. They're also second in catches allowed to opposing running backs, allowing seven catches and 50 yards per game to the position. And Sanders should see more than the three carries he received in last week's lopsided loss to Minnesota. His carry totals in the previous games were 9, 11, 13, 10, and 11. So Sanders is a solid PPR play this week.
All right. See, I thought you were going to go smartass on me and give me like a one-sentence rationale for Sanders. No. Not the case. Scott,
he needs more than that.
He deserves more than that.
He needs.
Scott, you're taking a chance on me. Running back is a guy I love this week.
I got to go with my guy. We talked about him in January. I've been liking this guy since way before the pre-draft process even. Devin Singletary, you remember back a few weeks ago when I take on Tony Pollard against the Dolphins as a second running back and he had 100-plus and a touchdown? Well, that is Devin Singletary this week. He gets those same Miami Dolphins who have allowed the most rush attempts, rush yards, receiving yards, total yards, and receiving touchdowns to running backs. Get this. He's only rushed the ball 10 times this season. He's healthy again now, by the way. 10 times this season, 127 yards. That's 12.7 yards per attempt.
Mm.
Unbelievable. Yeah, 7 of them went for 12 yards or more. 3 of them went for over 20 yards. For reference, Christian McCaffrey only has 3 rushes over 20 yards.
Yeah.
And Devin Singletary did it in 10 attempts. Give him 10 to 12 touches in this one against the Dolphins. He's going to play for you.
He's going to play, and I love him this week. I've got Matt Breida, who, granted, he's already rostered on a lot of teams, and I realize that. And so it's more just get him off your bench in this game against Washington. And yes, Tevin Coleman will get probably a little bit more work and probably get the goal line carries, but still plenty to go around here. And by the way, Matt Breida is a lot better than,
yes, he is. He
than
just
Tevin Coleman.
Better.
He's
he
just better. Better. He's just the better of the two backs. He goes up against a Redskins defense that has allowed the 7th most fantasy points to running backs. They've allowed 6 scores to runners in their last 5 games. 49ers rank first in run ratio. First. There's going to be plenty of action here. Matt Breida is going to get paid in this one. Let's go to the receiver position. Brian, who you got?
All right, here's a guy who's probably not on anybody's teams, but that should change. That is Dallas's Cedric Wilson going up against the Eagles.
Cut.
All right.
Amari Cooper, very unlikely to play. We'll talk about this matchup more later on. Randall Cobb, also unlikely to play, but he's a slot receiver. Cedric Wilson's an outside guy, a 6th-round rookie, 6'3 as well. He's got a big body. If he draws the start, arguably walking into the most cake matchup for wide receivers this year. Philly has allowed the most wide receiver touchdowns. 6 different wide receivers have topped 100 yards against the Eagles already. Philly has yielded the 3rd most red zone targets and the 2nd most red zone touches to opposing wide receivers. And when Cooper went down, it was Wilson who came in with 5 catches for 48 yards against the Jets. He looked like the next guy up.
I think he is. I think
fire
is the next
him
guy
up if Amari is out. And you know, that's a good chance he is.
Okay. Scott, you take a chance on me, receiver.
I'm going with Jamison Crowder. He has 26 targets in the 2 games with Darnold, resulting in 20 catches and nearly 100 yards in each game.
Mm-hmm.
Golden Tate, Cole Beasley, Juju Smith-Schuster all had decent days against the Patriots.
Yeah.
Going up against Jonathan Jones. In fact, those were the 3 best wide receiver days against the Patriots this year.
Wow.
If Crowder's going to be a lock for 8, 9, 10 targets from
Darnold,
which he usually is. He is. Yeah. He has been this year. He's going to get a C grade for me in a take-on play.
And available in most leagues, I'm sure. I don't want to brag, but if you go back to week 1, I called Chris Conley's only good game of the year. And I'm doing it again. Calling my shot on Chris Conley, despite a 0 catch performance last week. He's actually the team leader. He plays for the Jaguars, if you're not even sure. He's your starting receiver opposite DJ Chark. He's the team leader in snaps ahead of DJ Chark. He goes up against the Bengals. I already told you I love Gardner Minshew. I told you they're without their starting cornerbacks. Did I tell you who their backups are? The cornerbacks who are going to start for the Bengals: Tony McRae and Torrey McFlat-Tyre. Now, how bad are they? Tony McRae ranks as cornerback 99 by Pro Football Focus, and Torrey McFlat-Tyre was cut by the Dolphins. When you're so bad that the Dolphins kick you to the curb, you don't belong in the NFL.
I got a nickname for Tony.
Better than McFlat-Tyre?
Well, no, McRae.
Oh, McRae.
Tony McRae-up. McClay-up.
It's a McClay-up?
He's a McClay-up.
To start somebody against him? Like Chris Conley, perhaps?
Like Chris Conley.
All right. I'm listening to that.
All right.
Sort of. Kind of.
Not my best work.
Well, it was improv. It was improvised. Yeah. You know, you're working your material right now in real time on the air. Let's work in one matchup. Miami takes on the Buffalo Bills. And Scott, you already told us some of the players on the Bills side that we like in this one, but let's go to the Miami side.
Probably not.
Buffalo's defense is so much better than people realize. I've got to believe this is like a zero starter game.
There's not a starter, especially with, well, I shouldn't, I'm sorry, but even with Stewbeard coming in, there's not a starter on
Miami. Might be love Stewbeard. It's not happening. Not
Tre'Davious
this week.
White is going to knock out either Devontae Parker or Preston Williams. They can cover him, no problem. Start no one here.
So real quick, the Dolphins give Ryan Tannehill like 7 years to trying to become something, and Josh Rosen gets 3 starts. And then they kick him to the curb.
Maybe they're just trying to not wreck Rosen.
I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I'm serious. I'm kind of serious about that. I think they might be benching him out of mercy for his career.
Yeah, he's had a rough go. A lot of situations. On the other side, though, Josh Allen, just a smash A start here against the Miami Dolphins. Second worst against quarterbacks. Allen has multiple passing touchdowns in 5 of the last 6. But get this, last year against Miami, 9 for 135 rushing. And 9 for 95 and 2 rushing, 2 touchdowns. Those are some big rushing days. He also threw 2 and 3 touchdown passes in those games, respectively. It's just a great matchup for him. I already mentioned Singletary. Love him as a take-home.
I even like Gore.
Gore has 16 or more touches in every game since week 1. Running backs with at least 14 touches against Miami average 110 total yards.
What do you think the carry distribution will be between Singletary and Gore in this juicy matchup with Miami?
This is a team I think runs the ball 30-plus times in this game, so yeah. I'm not too worried about it.
Is it even? You think it's 15-15?
I think it's probably more likely an 18-12 type of Gore to Singletary thing.
Okay.
On to the wide receivers. I think Brown can have a decent day here. No Bills receiver has topped 75 yards since week 2. That's a little rough. With Duke Williams coming in last week, Brown still remained the guy. So I think he has some options here against a weak Miami defense. But the other guys, Beasley, Duke, Williams, I can't trust them yet. I'm benching all of them.
All right. I don't play this. It's basically as simple as this. Start all your Bills.
Yep.
Bench all your
Dolphins. Bills that matter. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and oddly, there are a few that matter.
Yeah, there are.
The signature daily fantasy contest at fanball.com is called the Fanball 5. Why 5, you might be asking, because it costs $5. The salary cap, $55,000. And if you've got the highest scoring player at the 5 positions, you hit the Fanball 5 jackpot of, well, $2,000. It should be 5, really, just to kind of keep the 5 thing going, but it doesn't always work out that way. The Fanball 5, $5 to play, $10,000 prize pool. It's the Fanball 5. Go to fanball.com/5. Coming up next on Fantasy Football Weekly, we'll break down more matchups, including Jacksonville and Cincinnati. We already told you a bunch of players we like on the Jacksonville side. What about Joe Mixon? Do you get the bounce back performance? We'll tell you when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly. You're listening to Fantasy Football Weekly, an iHeartRadio production. I am Paul Jarchi, and my co-hosts are Scott Fish and Brian Johnson from Fanball.com. You can hear us over the air on many stations around the country, and this show is also a podcast available every Friday on all major podcasting platforms, including the number one destination for podcasts, the iHeartRadio app. Vikings take on the Lions. For the Vikings side, you'll want to watch the status of left tackle Riley Reiff, who comes into this one as a probable game-time decision. Obviously, if he is not able to go, all the Vikings take a bit of a step backwards here. Dalvin Cook is an obvious A regardless. He's got a lifetime average of 6 yards per carry against Detroit. There's no part of Detroit that's going to dissuade you from starting him, and I'm not going to. He's an obvious A grade. As for the passing game, I've got B grades, beginning with Kirk Cousins, left for dead as recently as 2 weeks ago. Has another good opportunity against the Lions. Now, I know the Lions held Patrick Mahomes scoreless in week 4, and so there's a temptation to think they're better than they are, but they're mostly a middle-of-the-pack defense that can be beaten. 4 of the 5 passers they've faced have topped 280 yards. 3 of the 5 have thrown multiple touchdown passes. With the Lions unable to generate much of a pass rush. They've got just 10 sacks on the whole season, by the way. How many sacks did Denver
11,
allow? Denver allowed 7 just on Thursday night, yeah. I think. So, yeah.
I heard more Flacco sacks was than sacked points. 9 times, I thought.
Was it? In fact,
Nine times.
I believe
nine.
It was in fact.
Nine times? Nine I guess I may have gave, maybe I just, man, I lost it after seven. You start to lose track, I think. Cousins should be comfortable in the pocket, which has been the case for two straight weeks. His Cousins played at a high level, and that's really the whole bit on Cousins, startable when he's comfortable in the pocket. So there you go. And Adam Thielen's his number one target, who also gets a B grade. He runs out of the slot more than any other Viking receiver, and that gives him the most favorable matchup on the field. Every single wide receiver touchdown the Lions have given up has come from the slot, including Alan Lazard, mentioned last segment, out of the slot. Thielen's track record, I'll mention, though, in this matchup is spotty. In 10 matchups with the Lions, he's only scored one time. Nevertheless, I like the matchup here. He will avoid the sleigh ride that Stephon Diggs will suffer, and that's why Diggs is a C grade, even after the big game last week. Darius Slay is great. He's only allowing 41 yards per game. Now, no, as I mentioned, no outside receivers scored on the Lions all year, so there's that as well. But let's watch Darius Slay's hamstring injury. For any reason Slay can't go, it's green light on Stephon Diggs. So Slay is dealing with that injury. We'll watch him. Let's go to the Lions side. Beginning with Kerryon Johnson in the midst of a disappointing season, and I, in all fairness, I thought he was sitting on a much better season than he's had so far, and it just has not worked out. Johnson has just one game of more than 50 rushing yards. He's put up a dismal 38-yard performance in his one game against the Vikings last year. Minnesota's allowed just four rushing scores to backs in their last 12 road games. The Vikings are a good road run defense as well. There's nothing to like here. The Vikings giving up just 3.8 yards per carry. I've got a C grade on Kerryon Johnson, mostly just due to volume. Honestly, he should be in the 20-ish carry range, and that's the only reason that he still gets a C grade. Let's go to the passing game. Matthew Stafford's last two games featured zero touchdown passes and 116 yards and 199 yards. That's
not,
it. Gross.
Not good.
No,
not good,
bad. Bob. Minnesota's held him to zero or one touchdowns in four of his last five meetings. So, and what else is hurting Stafford is low volume. He's averaging only 31 passes per game since the overtime game in the opener. Since then, 31 passes per game. It's just not enough passes to get much done. So just the C grade on Matthew Stafford here. Even if you got to start a receiver, the only one I like particularly is Kenny Golladay, who's been absolutely matchup proof this year. 100 receiving yards and or a touchdown in four of five games for Golladay. I think you have to temper your expectations because he's never exceeded 61 yards or scored against the Vikings ever. He's going to draw Xavier Rhodes for most of this game. Rhodes has played better the last few games. So I'm nervous about Golladay here, but a B grade just on talent and because he's been so productive this year. After him, the only other guy that gets a starting grade is TJ Hockenson. Tight ends are averaging 11 targets per game against the Vikings. And get this, over the last 2 weeks, the tight ends against the Vikings have been targeted 29 times, and they've caught 29 passes.
Jeez.
That's unbelievable. The Vikings have allowed the fifth most yards to tight ends, but have yet to surrender a touchdown. So I've got a C grade on TJ Hockenson in this one. Marvin Jones is on the bench. He has been fantasy irrelevant, and I don't like his matchup against Trey Waynes. Let's go to our next matchup. Houston taking on Indianapolis. Brian, this is a Houston team that has got people very frustrated and flummoxed with their wide receivers, Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins. How do you feel about the passing game in this one in particular?
Before we get into that, it's worth noting these teams played three times last year, the two regular season meetings,
oh, yeah,
and then in the playoffs,
okay,
as well.
Okay, good. So I get the feeling there's some good historic data coming.
There is some
way.
Good historic data here.
All right.
We'll start with the wide receivers that you alluded to. DeAndre Hopkins, you got to keep riding him, as frustrating as it's been. I'm going to give him an A here. He scored in both the regular season games last year against Indy, but he was held under 40 yards in the playoff game with no touchdown and in the Week 13 game. But the very comparable number one receivers like Keenan Allen, Julio Jones, both topped 120 yards and scored a touchdown against the Colts this year. So just continue to give Hopkins the A treatment, and everything will work out fine, I promise. Will Fuller could give him a B here. The Colts will be without starting safety Malik Hooker, who is the quarterback of their secondary. Fuller was only healthy for the first meeting between these teams last year. He did have four catches for 49 yards and a touchdown. And the Colts have allowed at least 75 yards to two wide receivers on the same team in two of their last three games. So fire up Hopkins and Fuller. Maybe even Kiki Cutie, Cutie played in two of the three games last year, the Week 4 game and then the playoff game, so he kind of bookended the matchups. His lines were 11 catches for 110 yards and a touchdown, and 11 catches for 109 yards.
Jeez,
so 11 catches
right
are
there.
A lock for you. Just kidding. Kenny Stills might make his return, too. That really muddies those waters. If Stills comes back, Cutie and Stills on the bench. If Stills is out, I'll give Cutie the C here.
Mm.
And the tight ends are worth talking about in Houston for once.
Yeah, how about that?
The Houston tight end, the Houston has the most tight ends in football right now.
The most total tight ends?
Most total tight ends. Yeah, that could be true. The most total tight end touchdowns in football.
Oh, okay. Touchdowns.
That's a mouthful.
Okay.
They're also top eight in tight end yards. Darren Fells and Jordan Akins have both been producing as of late, but Fells has been the alpha dog over the last four games. He has six catches for 69 nice yards, then two catches for 20 yards and two touchdowns. He did have one dud in the span with one catch for 12 yards, but then the fourth game, five catches for 49 yards and a touchdown. And opposing tight ends are averaging nine targets, six-plus catches, and 67 yards against the Colts with three total touchdowns. So Darren Fells gets a starting grade with a C here, and Deshaun Watson, I'm just going to give him an A, not get into that at all. He's in an elite spot here. Over the Colts side, Marlon Mack, going to give him a B. Had been nursing an ankle injury, but should be fully healthy coming off the bye week for the Colts. Houston has surrendered the most receptions to running backs this season as well. Naheem Hines could steal some of that work, but Mack does get third down work. And for what it's worth, he scored a rushing touchdown in all three meetings with the Texans last year. Who has scored a lot of touchdowns against the Texans in his career is T.Y. Hilton.
Yes. He's my number one wide receiver play this week.
I'm just going to say his lines in the three games from last year. In previous years, he'd be putting up like 200 yards and three touchdowns in some of these games. Last year, 5 for 85, 9 for 199, 4 for 115. Very safe floor, very high ceiling. There have been five players that have seen 7-plus targets. Five wide receivers to see 7-plus targets against the Texans this year. They've combined to average eight catches for 106 yards and six total touchdowns, those five wide receivers.
Yeah.
Hilton's going to see 7-plus targets in this game,
agreed,
without a doubt. Paris Campbell, Deion Kane, Zach Pascal. One of these guys is going to produce, but I don't know which one it is.
That's
impossible
right
to decode. So they're all on the bench. So is Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle. I would go Doyle if I had to pick one, but this is just a bad matchup.
Doyle's on the field like three quarters of the play, and for Ebron, if you don't get the touchdown, you get nothing.
And you can't trust him to catch the ball. Houston has surrendered the fourth fewest yards to tight ends, zero touchdowns to the position. They're both easily on the bench. But I did have Jacoby Brissett as my take a chance to me quarterback. I think T.Y. Hilton has enough to carry him to 250 and two touchdowns probably.
I love Hilton. By the way, good trade candidate as well, because that nagging injury really suppressed a lot of his value, and then you sort of forget about a guy in the bye week. It's a good time to buy on T.Y. Hilton. Jacksonville takes on Cincinnati, and I've already talked a fair amount about the Jacksonville side, because I love Gardner Minshew, who is my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback.
By the way, on that,
yeah,
Carl Lawson and Carlos Dunlap both likely to miss as well.
Jeez.
So who's going to be rushing Minshew?
Nobody. I mean, it's crazy. You know, we talked earlier, Dre Kirkpatrick is out, starting cornerback. The other starting cornerback, William Jackson, out. They're going to be starting Tony McCray and Torrey McTyer. DJ Chark, A grade for DJ Chark.
Yeah.
This feels like a fantastic opportunity for him against that injury plagued secondary. And obviously, he's been very good in every game until last week. So he's got an A grade. Chris Conley was my take a chance on me wide receiver with a C grade. Let's go to, you know who's on the bench? I found a Jaguar to bench.
Not Fournette.
No. D.D. Westbrook.
Okay.
Five straight games without a score. Heavy dud opportunity here. Even with Kirkpatrick and Jackson out, those guys are outside cornerbacks, and Westbrook runs from the slot where he gets solid slot cornerback B.W. Webb. You know, that's the path of most resistance goes through D.D. Westbrook. We know people always talk about the path of least resistance. Nobody wants to talk about the path of most resistance.
For a reason, probably.
That's D.D. Westbrook, who's on the bench. Let's go to Leo Fournette. Bengals allowing the second most yards and the most touchdowns to opposing running backs on the ground. Fournette has got at least four receptions in five of six games. And Cincinnati's allowing the fifth most receptions and the second most yards and touchdowns to opposing receiving backs. It's an awesome, awesome start for Leonard Fournette. Wouldn't be surprised if he finishes the day as the highest scoring fantasy running back. Let's go to the Cincinnati side. I've only got two starters for you. One of them's Joe Mixon. Now, Mixon is only really, to this point, he's only been capable of generating a decent fantasy game against the worst defenses in the league, guess what? Jacksonville kind of qualifies.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving up the fifth most rushing yards, the second most yards per carry, 5.4 yards per carry for Jacksonville.
Maybe Derrick Henry broke them the end of last year.
Maybe that's it. So Joe Mixon's startable here. I've got a B grade on him. Jaguars defense, it's not your father's. You could have a one-year-old and point and go, him. It's not his.
It's not that
Jaguars.
2017 Jags defense that recovered every single fumble they caused.
Remember that?
Yeah.
The only other starting grade I've got is Tyler Boyd, who has now seen seven or fewer targets in two of his last three games. Jacksonville hasn't allowed a score to an opposing receiver in their last two games, and their only glaring weakness is cornerback Trey Herndon, who Boyd won't see, unfortunately. He's going to see DJ Hayden, who yielded three catches for 16 scoreless yards over the last 2 weeks. I know it's all bad news on Boyd, but I think he's the only quasi-startable guy out of all of this because I can't start Auden Tate, and I'm not starting Alex Erickson either. In fact, forget it. Tyler Boyd's going on the bench, too. The whole passing offense is on the bench. Dalton's had three good fantasy games and three bad fantasy games. This one leads toward bad, even without Jalen Ramsey. And people might be like, well, without Jalen Ramsey, we can do whatever we want on that defense. No, you can't. It's still going to be a tricky matchup, and I don't trust the wobbly offense in Cincinnati to take advantage. I know a lot of people are enamored with Auden Tate finally producing.
Golden
but
Tate.
Yeah, that's right. Tell people about this. I love this bit. The scientific notation for gold is?
AU.
And Auden Tate, if we switched the AU to gold, would be?
Golden Tate.
Golden Tate.
What are the odds?
Golden Tate. There'd be
crazy.
Two Golden Tates in the league.
Yeah, I noticed that this week, and I'm like, what the?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
AJ Bouye probably hammers him, so that's probably the end of that. We've got one matchup left for this segment, Arizona taking on the Giants. We've got 3 minutes. I think you can do it, Scott.
Okay, let's do it. I'm gonna start with the home team here. Jones is my take-on, so don't need to talk about him. Golden Tate, as we just mentioned.
Yes, going from one Golden Tate to another.
To another, is not going to get Patrick Peterson. In the later years, Patrick Peterson has not moved into the slot quite as much. I think he's going to avoid him, and he might be startable here against the Arizona Cardinals. That might be where Jones gets some of his yardage.
Mm-hmm.
The other wide receivers, though, no thanks. Just Slayton, Shepard, none of them.
The other Shepard, by the way, not Sterling.
Yes.
Sterling is not going to play in this game.
Darius Shepard, the rookie. Evan Engram, A grade. As everyone said in the Giants' bad tight end year, death taxes and tight ends against the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Eifert got crushed by, didn't do anything but against them, but Evan Engram is much better. Barkley's an A grade, 137 total yards in each of his first two full games that he played this year. Jones' mobility should open things up a little more for Barkley here as well. A grade there. On the Arizona side, I'm giving an A to Murray. I'm so glad he's finally regressing back to the mean with those touchdowns. He was the first quarterback to have 1,300 yards passing and 200 yards rushing in NFL history.
Wow.
The touchdowns were coming. He only had four touchdowns in his first five games. They were going to come, and I'm glad they come. 300-plus yards allowed by the Giants to four of the six QBs they faced. Second most passing yards allowed on the season. And Murray's averaging 40 attempts per game in the fastest-paced offense. He's going to rack up points. So his main man, his safety blanket, Larry Fitzgerald, I'm giving him a B grade here. I kind of want to give him an A grade here, but he hasn't had like super A grade numbers this season. He's right on that border. Five catches. Benching the rest of the wide receivers. David Johnson, I do like against the Giants, who have allowed the fourth most total yards to running backs. Chase Edmonds, maybe a sneaky start.
I think so, yeah.
18 touches in the last two games. If he can get you 10 touches, this is a defense he can pop off.
You know, when a lot of times they break David Johnson out as a wide receiver and Chase Edmonds alone back. And then they will hand him the ball. They'll throw to Chase Edmonds. He's finding ways
David Johnson,
to get involved all the time.
Eight targets per game over the last four.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Coming up next, we'll answer three tough questions. You can play along. Try to go a perfect 3-0. Three tough questions coming up next on Fantasy Football Weekly. It's Fantasy Football Weekly. I'm Paul Charchian from FanBall.com. Scott Fish and Brian Johnson comprise my panel of experts for this segment. You are a panel of two. I'm not on the panel. I'm asking the questions.
You're the moderator.
Three tough questions.
Is there a minimum requirement for a panel? Is two compliant panels?
No, I don't think it is, actually. I think you have at least three. It's something like that. It's time to get into the grinder. Three tough questions. Listeners, play along. See if you can go 3-0. As is tradition,
tough question number one.
Inexplicably, DeAndre Hopkins is on a 5-game scoreless streak, and Houston has proven it doesn't need Hopkins' touchdowns to win games. For the rest of the season, will DeAndre Hopkins' production remain as it is currently? Will it improve slightly, or will it improve dramatically? You'll notice I'm not saying even giving you a worse from than here scenario in this.
I'm surprised you even gave us a remain steady.
Or remain steady, improve slightly, or improve dramatically. Brian.
All right. DeAndre Hopkins is currently 11th in air yards. And air yards measures how far football travels to the receiver, whether he catches it or not. Mm. It measures opportunity, essentially. So he's 11th in air yards. Last year, he finished third. Right now, Hopkins has a 28% target share. Last year, he led the league at 32%. Of course, those numbers are propped up by Will Fuller going down with injury. Will Fuller is healthy right now. Mm-hmm. And Will Fuller has more air yards, and touchdowns than Hopkins. There's clearly a direct correlation with the downtick in production for Hopkins, who is on pace for 106 catches. That's on par for what you'd expect from him, but only 1,072 yards and 5 touchdowns right now is what he's on pace for. I do think those totals will improve, but just slightly, as long as Will Fuller stays healthy.
Improve slightly. Scott?
I think it's actually going to improve dramatically. Remember Julio last year? No touchdowns in the first 7 games.
I remember that.
No, he did in his next 12 games.
Do tell.
12 touchdowns. Positive regression is coming in this one. The Houston tight ends are scoring at a probably unsustainable rate right now. I think they have 5 or 6 of those touchdowns. I don't know that I see that happening much longer. And I'm doing a quick check here as I look. But yeah, I don't think that... Nope. Kiki QT, Will Fuller, and Kenny Stills have never had a full healthy season combined.
Wow.
At all.
No.
So
Kiki QT's only been in the league 2 years.
Right.
He's constantly out.
Yeah. So Will Fuller has been healthy, but does he stay healthy? That might be the question. I think it improves dramatically, though. I think he's getting the opportunity. It's just those touchdowns are going to tight ends and stuff. It's going to come.
It's funny. You use the exact same phrasing that I have on the first bullet point of the correct answer. Positive regression coming for Hopkins.
Yeah.
Since his rookie year, he's only had 1 5-game dry spell like this one, and it took Brick Osweiler to do it to him. To say that Deshaun Watson is better than Brick Osweiler is an understatement, right? His quarterback is terrific. Hopkins is playing 97% of the team snaps. He's 5th in the NFL in targets. And Will Fuller's drops, I wonder if Will Fuller's drops won't be sitting in the back of Watson's minds and mind. And then, he doesn't end up throwing even a couple more over to Hopkins' side. I believe the dramatic improvement is coming.
Tough question number two.
Thanks in part to his rushing prowess, Tom Brady has posted solid fantasy numbers in 5 of 6 games. For the rest of the season, will Brady improve, hold steady, or decline in fantasy production? Scott.
Okay, first I want to correct something in the last segment. Stills did have a healthy season, but 5 of his other seasons, injured.
All right, fine.
So he did have a healthy one there. For me... Okay, Tom Brady is currently QB8. All 5 of the games you just mentioned, bottom 10 pass defenses. 3 of them just terrible. Washington, Miami, and the Giants. That said, he gets possible shootouts with the Chiefs, Ravens, and Texans. I can see those being shootouts.
Mm-hmm.
He's got nice matchups against the Bengals and Eagles. He gets the Bills in championship game week 16 for us, at least.
Yeah.
The Miami
When you say us, I'll be playing week 16.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm planning on it.
Yeah, for us at least. That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
You.
Yeah.
Not Brian. So
not Brian.
Much,
but, he's out.
Miami games in week 17, which kind of stinks. But looking at the schedule, I think he stays pretty steady with this production. I think he finishes a top 12 quarterback.
Okay. Brian.
I think it's going to improve because I just look at the schedule and it's riddled with cupcake opponents. This is the easiest schedule for a defending Super Bowl champion easily in history. Mm-hmm. I mean, we already know they played Washington, Miami, the Giants, some other JV teams. Looking forward, the Jets this week, the Browns, who are not good still, the Ravens, their secondary's in shambles, then the Eagles, they have the worst secondary in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, their entire secondary is pretty much hurt right now. The Texans, one of the worst secondaries in the NFL. It never ends. Then the Chiefs, probably a shootout. Mahomes will be healthy by then.
Right.
Then the Bengals. But then it ends in week 16, where you can't play Brady against the Bills. But that doesn't matter. He's going to improve, and I hate to say that.
So we basically said the same thing in different orders.
I'm going to mention one other thing that you guys didn't hit on, and you're right. He's going to improve on where he is now, and he's already been good. But again, the rushing. The receivers, all of his receivers can get better. They all have room to improve.
And N'Keal Harry's
Josh Gordon, Philip Dorsett, Julian Edelman. We're going to talk about N'Keal Harry a little later in the show. They all have room to get better. They've all been just okay fantasy performers. They can all get better. So, yes, Tom Brady will improve in the second half of the season.
Tough question number three.
Over the past 2 weeks, Kirk Cousins has been a top five-ish fantasy quarterback. Have the Vikings cracked the code to unlock his fantasy upside, or is he more likely to return to the guy we're used to seeing over his previous games with the Vikings? Brian?
So Cousins had 37 pass attempts to start the season's first 3 weeks. 37 pass attempts
in three games.
Of course, he didn't post any real numbers during that span.
Are you sure that isn't completions?
Yeah, that must be completions.
I think it's got to be. I think he was.
Because otherwise, that's only 13. That's only 12 and 12.
Did I read that wrong?
You think so?
I think he was 37 for 63.
That's got to be. It's got to be.
But still,
you couldn't attempt 13 passes. 21
attempts per game.
Yeah.
On average.
21 attempts per game on average. Fine. Yeah. He needs to attempt way more passes than that.
Okay.
And in the games coming up, there's some game scripts that get flipped pretty quick with that good Vikings defense and some piss poor opponents, mainly the Redskins. The Chiefs are probably going to be without Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And then the Broncos are coming up outside of this week's matchup with Detroit. And then the bye week. That's enough for me to already say we're going to see more of the Cousins we saw earlier in the season and not in the last 2 weeks. He's very matchup dependent, and I don't see very good matchups on the horizon. They don't come till well later in the season. I don't even want to contemplate Kirk that late in the season. So more likely to return to the guy.
All right, so you think the regression.
I hate that you don't have a middle option.
No, this is a binary one. This is up or down.
It's very annoying because I think he's going to land in the middle. He's not going to go back to averaging 13 fantasy points per game, and he's not going to be 25. He's going to be like 17 or 18. He's right in the friggin' middle.
So you got to pick one or the other.
He's not going to retain what he did against the friggin' Eagles and the Giants.
So you think he's more likely to return to the guy he was?
Sure. He's more likely to, even though I have faith that they have figured out that he needs to throw the ball more and feed his receivers more and make it a more balanced, not run every play offense. But if I had to choose one of the two, he's probably going to drop off.
The real question that we're actually asking with this is, can the Vikings offensive line continue to give Kirk reasonable pass protection as they've done the last 2 weeks? Because that is why Kirk has played so well. That's the reason. So I analyzed the remaining schedule and get a load of this for the Vikings. Amazingly favorable against pass rushing defenses. Hmm. Of the 9 remaining opponents, 6 of them rank 23rd or worse in pass rush by Pro Football Focus. None of the remaining Vikings opponents rank higher than 9th in pass rush.
Wow.
Kirk Cousins is going to continue to get time behind this now, at least through 2 games, improved offensive line. And if that's the case, we're going to get the kinds of numbers from Kirk Cousins that we were getting when he was with Washington, which is the Kirk Cousins the Vikings thought they were getting. I think he's back. Let's sneak in one more matchup. Chargers taking on Tennessee. Brian, it's been a wreck at a lot of positions for the Chargers all season long. Numerous players disappointing across the board. What do you think is coming up in this one in a tough matchup with Tennessee? Is there anybody you particularly like? for the Chargers?
Not really.
No.
Let's start with the running game, and it is a tough matchup for both running backs. Melvin Gordon's snap percentage went up to 60% last week, up from 46% the week before. He out-touched Austin Eckler 11-8 as well. That delta will probably widen this week, but I'm only giving him a C here. Over Tennessee's last four games, no starting running back has seen more than 15 carries or top 70 yards. Austin Eckler, I'm still going to give him a C. Only 8 carries combined over the last 2 weeks, and the return of Hunter Henry probably hurts his receiving prospects a little bit. But the Titans are allowing more than 6.5 receptions per game to running backs. And there's still some hope that head coach Anthony Lynn realizes that Eckler is the better back on roster right now and gives him more touches, because it's been a disaster since Melvin Gordon came back.
It has, so, you know, but the offensive line has also been, you know, a disaster too. Now, Russell Okung could come back this game. Don't know yet. And maybe for almost certainly the next one. That will help a ton.
Yeah, definitely. I was going to mention that when I talked to
Rivers.
But no,
sorry,
all good. All good.
There.
Let's go over to Hunter Henry. Henry ran 37 pass routes in his return from injury last week.
How impressive is that?
That's the most routes he's run since September of 2016.
Jeez.
Makes no sense. And he obviously blew up.
Yeah, how many benches did he stay on last week? And people were like, well, I got to ease him in. I don't want to risk it.
I'm raising my hand right now. Yeah. No one can see me except you guys. But this is a neutral matchup at worst. Tennessee is allowing a modest 4 catches, 46 yards per game to tight ends, but they have surrendered the second most scores to the position. Hunter Henry and EZA in the tight end wasteland. Keenan Allen, this is not a good matchup for him, just to see. He's been out-targeted 17-30 by Mike Williams, by the way, over the last 3 weeks. I don't know. He's going to draw Logan Ryan, who is one of the rare slot stoppers in this league. It's a brutal matchup for Keenan, but you cannot bench him. He gets to see, and so does Mike Williams. He leads the NFL in air yards over the last 2 weeks with a whopping 347. Yeah. So the opportunity for big games has been there. I don't like his prospects for a big game in this one. Tennessee has only allowed one total wide receiver touchdown over their last 3 games, and they've limited outside receivers like Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, John Brown, and Cortland Sutton to a collective 16 catches among those 4 players.
Wow.
So
I'm
not liking Williams this week. Still going to give him a C, though. But you know what? I'm benching Phillip Rivers. The Titans have generated the 6th most sacks and allowed the 6th fewest passing yards per game while surrendering just 8 passing touchdowns. Even though Rivers has a safe floor, I'd take any of our take-a-chance-on-me quarterbacks over Rivers against Tennessee this week.
Yeah.
Over to the Titans side, going to give Derrick Henry an A. Henry has at least 100 combo yards and or a touchdown in 7 straight home games. The Chargers do not present much of a threat against the run, as they are ranked 27th by Football Outsiders. Deion Lewis. No, I'm not going to talk about Deion Lewis. Sorry.
No. Deion. Finally, you're going to not talk about Deion Lewis. How many times are you getting burned on that guy?
Wasting airtime.
Solid 5 PPR points for my take a chance on me running back last week. Do not wake up the peacock for that one. Delanie Walker, he might as well not wake up on Sunday either. I'm going to keep him on the bench.
He might be out. He did not practice today.
Would you know the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be better off if he's out. Don't play Jonnu Smith if that's the case. The Chargers have only allowed 6 tight end receptions over the last 3 games. Delanie looks like he's cooked, too, by the way. It's kind of sad after a hot start. He hasn't done anything since the opener. Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, easily on the bench, and there's no easier bench than Ryan Tannehill.
There is no easier bench. Well, except for Marcus Mariota, been benched.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, it's Fantasy Football Weekly. You can play the Crush Charts Championship for free at fanball.com. When you assemble a better salary cap team than mine, you get a shot at this week's prize pool of $1,000. Again, it's free. But more importantly, when you do beat my score, you get an entry into the Week 17 Tournament of Champions with the $10,000 grand prize.
And this week it is Super Flex.
Super Flex, baby.
No defense.
No defense and two quarterbacks or two tight ends.
Or no, four running backs, 5 wide receivers, or you can play 4 tight ends on Fanball with Superflex.
It is wild. Fanball.com/charge for the Crush Charge Championship. We're back in moments. We'll look through a few more matchups, including San Francisco taking on Washington. You know you love the San Francisco runners. What about the San Francisco passing game? We'll tell you what to do when we come back. Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. We've got a big block of matchups for you. Beginning with San Francisco taking on Washington. We start on the San Francisco side. I already told you how much I love Matt Breida. He was my take a chance of me running back, which really, if I'm being honest, he's way too good to be a take a chance of me running back. But part of it is I love talking about Matt Breida because I think he's such a good player. Tevin Coleman gets an A grade in this game. He put up a season-high 156 total yards and two scores at FedEx Field last season when he was with Atlanta, and he was no good last season with Atlanta, and he still put up 156 against the Redskins. He faces a Redskins defense that has allowed the seventh most fantasy points to backs. They've allowed six backs to score in five games. And the 49ers lead the league in run ratio, so you know Coleman's going to get fed a lot. And by the way, Breida has zero carries inside the five-yard line. Coleman already has four.
Yeah.
And he's only played for, what, like five quarters of football or something like that. No, he's probably up to, what, nine, something like that. So, yeah, Coleman's an obvious A. Let's go to the passing game. Jimmy Garoppolo gets a B grade here. The problem is he's just not throwing the ball, and his low volume just isn't producing fantasy points. Garoppolo's throwing the third fewest passes because his defense, whatever game script goes like this, the defense shuts everybody down, and then they just go run their way to victory.
Yep.
So they don't need him to pass. Now, there is some upside against the Redskins. Washington has been busy surrendering the ninth most passing yards and the third most passing touchdowns, including four different three-touchdown games. So I've still got to be great on Garoppolo just because Washington's so bad that he may still find his way to a very good game and they could still run the ball well. So that means I must like George Kittle, who gets an A grade. Washington is an average tight end defense. They held Evan Ingram and Zach Ertz to the exact same 54 scoreless yards. But Kittle doesn't have a single game with less than 54 yards, and he's been targeted eight or more times in every game but one.
Yeah.
So we love Kittle. Then it brings us to the wide receivers, and you can't start any of them, whether it's Goodwin or Samuel or Pettis. They're all languishing with so little volume that they just can't be trusted. Get this. Between Goodwin, Samuel, and Pettis combined, none of them have a five-catch game in any game.
Yeah.
Combined, they have one game between them with 45 passing yards. That's terrible. So they're out. They're on the bench. Let's go to Washington where everybody's on the bench.
I will say, just for Marquise Goodwin, that side of the field that he plays on, Washington's allowed 10 touchdowns this year.
Oh, geez.
Which,
by the way, that's Josh Norman.
Josh Norman.
Side.
Yep.
Now, before you bench everyone on Washington, can I at least inform you that Sunday is Chris Thompson's actual birthday? Does that move the needle?
I will move him to a bench.
Bench plus?
Plus. There are no pluses. I can't.
Oh, okay.
And I love Chris Thompson, but I can't do it. This is an elite-level defense, needless to say. The Niners have not allowed a running back to score, ground or air. No back has carried it more than 16 times against them. And Bill Callahan can talk all he wants about establishing a new running game, and you can do it against Miami like he did last week. Yeah, it ends here. Do not chase Adrian Peterson's game from last week. He's on the bench. Terry McLaurin might be the only other guy you're tempted with, but you can't go there either. The 49ers are allowing the fewest passing yards per game. And in the last 2 weeks, Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff combined for 179 passing yards. Think about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Two NFL quarterbacks combining for 179 passing yards.
That's like three or four Joe Flacco days combined.
McLaurin has got tough matchups all over the field. There's nowhere for him to line up on the field to avoid it. He is on the bench. Let's go to our next matchup. New Orleans taking on Chicago. Scott, I think the Saints are fools if they run Kamara on a high ankle sprain in Chicago with a bye week looming.
Yep, I agree, and I don't think he plays. That's why I'm leaving him on the bench.
Good.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Even if he's active, I think he's super dangerous.
Yeah,
high ankle sprains re-injure all the time.
Yep. I would not be playing Kamara this week, especially against this Bears defense. Latavius Murray, I think, is a little sneaky just because he might get the volume. I am giving him a C grade. He turned his 11 touches into 79 yards last week. He's caught some passes recently. Josh Jacobs had a day after Akeem Hicks left after eight snaps. Josh Jacobs had 126 yards against his team.
Yeah.
They've allowed 100 total yards to the lead running back in three of the last four.
Wow.
Which is kind of surprising.
Wow.
Another stat in the passing game, this is really surprising as well, as I was doing my research this week. The Chicago Bears have allowed the most completed passes in the NFL this year.
What?
How is that even possible?
That's not a thing.
It's all dink and dunk stuff.
And it's
They've had their bye, too, yeah, which makes it even more incredible.
Maybe it's a per-game basis, but that's weird.
It's unreal to me, which is perfect for Teddy Bridgewater's dink and dunk style.
That is.
But he's still benchable. You shouldn't be starting Teddy Bridgewater. Lack of yards, lack of touchdowns make Bridgewater a bad start. But it's going to be good for Michael Thomas. He's just going to soak up a bunch of short catches. In PPR, he's well worth it. He's caught 28 of the 34 Teddy targets over the last 3 weeks.
Doesn't Teddy targets just sound adorable?
I like it. When I wrote it, I thought the same thing. It sounds cute. Ted Ginn's on the bench, though. Wide receivers not wearing number 13 for the Saints have not topped 36 yards in a game yet, which is crazy. Under Teddy, which is crazy. Cook, C grade, I guess.
Geez.
I don't know. Nah, I'm going to bench him.
All right, good. I'm with you on that.
The Bears have only allowed one touchdown this year. I thought maybe in this terrible landscape, maybe I can get... No, I can't
I
do it.
I don't think you can do
I
it.
I can't do it. Over to the Bears side, Trubisky looks like he's going to start, which is a downgrade for the entire Bears offense, in my opinion. I'm not joking. Over the last calendar year, Trubisky has averaged 218 yards per game.
Oh,
that's 14
bad.
Games.
That's bad.
He had 165 or fewer in five of them.
Jeez.
Chase Daniel, in the last couple of years, hasn't had a game under 231.
Right?
I mean, I think it's a downgrade. Yeah. I legitimately think it's a downgrade.
Okay.
Lattimore started the season bad, but over the last 3 weeks, he's allowing 28 yards per game in his coverage and faced some really good receivers.
Really good receivers in there, yeah.
I'm benching Allen Robinson. I'm benching Anthony Miller, who's just too inconsistent. And Mitch Trubisky has had two wide receivers have double-digit fantasy points in the same game twice in his entire career.
Wow.
So never start a second wide receiver for them. Tight ends are on the bench. Cohen is on the bench with his seven touches per game against a top 10 or top five run D against running backs. Montgomery, you're also staying on the bench against a bad defense or against a defense that's going to hold him down.
So frustrating with David. What's happened with David Montgomery? They just can't get a running game going.
I could have just said all the Bears on the bench.
Yeah, really.
But I went through it for a few seconds.
Well, no, it's okay.
I wanted to rip on Trubisky for about 3 minutes. It seemed like
for a moment with PJ Williams, the slot cornerback out this week or expected to not play. I thought that, you know, I was like, maybe Anthony Miller. They never throw to Anthony Miller ever.
No,
he's so invisible in that offense, and he was such a promising young player too. Very, very weird. We've got one more matchup, and that is Philadelphia taking on the Dallas Cowboys. One more matchup in this segment. That's a Sunday night game. Philadelphia coming off a tough game in Minnesota. Now they go to Dallas. What do you think about the passing game in particular for Carson Wentz in this matchup against the Cowboys?
Well, I'm liking Carson Wentz this Sunday night. I'm going to give him an A. Dallas likely will be missing two starting cornerbacks, Byron Jones and Anthony Brown. Earlier in the year, it looks like the Cowboys were a tough matchup on paper, but they were primarily facing paper quarterbacks like Eli Manning, Case Keenum, Josh Rosen, and Teddy Bridgewater. Dallas was exposed big time by Sam Darnold last week. Look for Wentz to continue to crush the Cowboys. He totaled five touchdowns and nearly 600 yards in their two meetings last year.
Mm-hmm.
Alshon Jeffrey gets an A as well. Just mentioned the injuries at corner for Dallas, and look what the Jets wide receivers did to the Cowboys last week. They totaled 16 catches for 290 yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
So Alshon Jeffrey, fire him up with an A. DeSean Jackson sadly is out. I believe that's official.
Yeah.
You can bank on him being out.
He is rolled out.
And I cannot advocate the usage of Nelson Aguilar or J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. It's just too much of a dart throw for me, even in a juicy matchup. But I can advocate the usage of Zach Ertz. Cowboys are allowing six catches, 59 yards per game to opposing tight ends. Those are healthy numbers. For the record, Ertz was boomer bust against Dallas last year, had 14 for 145 and two touchdowns.
Man, that's
in
a good
one game. And then five for 38 in the other. So let's hope for the former this week when it comes to the box scores for Ertz. Dallas Goedert wanted to give him a C grade. He has commanded nearly 40% of Philly's tight end target share over the last 3 weeks, but the floor is way too scary.
No, he's got these one catch games in him.
Even in the tight end wasteland, he did have like a 70-yard touchdown against the Cowboys called back last year for one of the worst offensive pass interference calls of all time. I'm sure he remembers that, but still not enough of a motivating factor for me to start him. Jordan Howard over the running backs just to see this week. Hasn't seen a target since week four, so his role is clearly ground and pound. It's a neutral matchup at best. Aaron Jones went off a couple weeks ago against Dallas. We all remember that. But Le'Veon Bell and Alvin Kamara struggled to get things going on the ground against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
So just a C for Howard. Miles Sanders was my take a chance of me running back. Dallas, very friendly to running backs through the air. Over to Dallas and their running back, Zeke, just a B in this one. In four career games against Philly, Zeke is averaging 116 yards on the ground and six catches for 50 yards per game. That's obviously good production, but he'll struggle to meet his rushing average in this one. The Eagles have yet to allow more than 63 yards to a running back on the ground this season. And Zeke has been very involved in the passing game, and comparable running backs have posted nice catch numbers against the Eagles. Le'Veon Bell had seven catches. Aaron Jones had six, so a safe B for Zeke here.
Mm-hmm.
Amari Cooper.
He's not going to go. Quad injury.
News came out on Friday that he's going to try and suit up.
If
he does, it's an amazing matchup. The Philly secondary, just brutal. Jalen Mills is going to make his return. That could be addition or subtraction by addition.
Some people can't get any worse.
Refer to him as Toast. Is his nickname? Yeah. Jalen Mills. If Cooper goes, I'll give him an A, but I fear he'd be a decoy.
Yeah.
You're definitely starting Michael Gallup, regardless if Cooper yes. goes or not. He gets an A. I mentioned and take a chance on me. Six different wide receivers have topped 100 yards against the Eagles, who have allowed the most wide receiver touchdowns, the third most red zone targets, and second most red zone touches. Should not be a surprise as they're yielding that to opposing wide receivers as well. That is why Cedric Wilson was my take a chance on me wide receiver.
Not if Cooper goes,
then Wilson is no longer a take on receiver.
Right.
And I'm hereby tabbing Alan Lazard of Green Bay as my take a chance on me wide receiver.
I like that you've got a provisional take a chance on me receiver.
Couple more guys really quick for Dallas. Randall Cobb, probably not going to play. I would still bench Tavon Austin, his backup, if Cobb sits. All the production comes from boundary receivers against the Eagles. And Jason Witten gets a C. Hasn't seen the volume you'd like from a starting tight end, but he has topped 50 yards or scored a touchdown in five of six games this year. And Philly has yielded the second most red zone targets to opposing tight ends. And lastly, Dak Prescott, got to give him an A here. Four different passers have thrown for at least 320 yards and multiple touchdowns against the Eagles this year. And as always, he is a threat on the ground as well.
Remember when the St. Louis Rams gave Tavon Austin, I think, $50 million contract?
He's going to get 100 catches. Remember?
Yeah, right. At the time, we were all looking at each other going, this is the worst contract ever.
He was like a top 10 pick in real football.
Yeah,
in
close to that. Like mid-first round.
Seven.
Like
I think he was seven.
Unbelievable. That
massive bust.
Out. Our final topics are ahead when we provide you with three guys we believe will be hot waiver wire pickups next week that you'll want to grab this week. Whether you're ready for it or not, premature speculation is coming at you. Yes, Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly, an iHeartRadio production. Remember, all my player rankings are available for free at fanball.com/charge, and you can play against me, again, for free, for your share of the $1,000 prize pool in the Crush Charge Championship. Guys, let's turn our attention to next week. Premature speculation is the name of this bit. We give you three players. It's going to turn out to be more like five this week. That we believe are going to be hot waiver wire pickups next week. But through our time machine, which sounds exactly like that, you will already have these players on your roster. We begin with Brian, who is your premature speculation guy.
I said Justice Hill last week, and I'm going with another running back that you can kind of just squat on, and he could turn into a league winner as the season goes on, and that's Tony Pollard. Of course, you would need something to happen to Zeke for him to become a league winner, but I do think Pollard starts to carve out more of a handcuff with benefits role as the season wears on. People are screaming to get him involved in the passing game more. Zeke's been taking more of the receiving game for running backs than people have expected, but he's not doing a whole lot with them. Pollard will get involved more. He's been compared to Alvin Kamara by people in his own organization, but they're certainly not using him that way.
No.
And really, the wide receivers for the Cowboys are the walking wounded right now. And it started in training camp with Amari Cooper, mm-hmm. who was going to be questionable to start the season. Now Cooper's hurt again. Randall Cobb's hurt. Michael Gallup has been hurt. Jason Witten is very old and not that good. So Tony Pollard is going to start to see 5, 6, 7 targets per game. So he will be viable in PPR. And again, if something happens to Zeke, giddy up.
Okay. Your premature speculation guy, Scott.
Paul Charchian.
Me? I'm your premature speculation guy?
Even going back to the preseason, who's that quarterback that I kept talking about because I liked the way he ended the last season?
It was Sam Darnold, who you loved his preseason play, too.
I still like him. And after mm-hmm. this Pats game this week, so you're not going to play him this week, but this is a good option for a Mahomes owner. You started Mahomes.
Right. You started Mahomes on Thursday night, and now as you're looking ahead to who you might use a replacement for Mahomes, here's your guy.
Sam Darnold. He gets the Jaguars next week. Mm-hmm. You might be a little worried. Guess what? Joe Flacco and Marcus Mariota both threw for over 300 yards on the Jaguars.
Right, if they can do it.
If they can do it. He's got those two. He's got the Jaguars after. Then he gets the Dolphins, the Giants, the Redskins, the Raiders, the Bengals, and the Dolphins.
Man, that's easy.
7 in a row that are easy. All of those teams most of those teams are bottom 6.
So
in the NFL.
Sam Darnold is going to have A and B grades for many of those games.
Only rostered in 27% of leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. You're right. You got to sit on him. You got to sit on him for this week, but big deal.
By the way, over the last 6 games, Sam Darnold, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Wow, not bad. Well, I'd like to see more touchdowns. I'd like to see more touchdowns over 6 games than 9.
Yeah.
I've got 2 guys who went on IR at the beginning of the season and are eligible to come off after week 8. And, you know, next week's going to be, we're heading into week 8. So you're going to start hearing about these names a lot more in the coming days. If you want to be a week ahead of the curve, go get N'Keal Harry, the rookie wide receiver for the Patriots, who, you know, could end up getting meaningful playing time. It wouldn't take necessarily a lot to get him onto the field.
Gordon's hurt. Dorsett's just coming off injury.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then Darius Geis, the Redskins runner who missed all of last year and then had the setback at the beginning of this year. He's eligible to come back too. Now, I don't love any Redskin necessarily.
Right.
But Geis has got to be better than what Adrian Peterson's giving that team, and they do want to run more. He could walk right in and become the lead running back on an NFL team.
Yep.
So there's a couple of guys.
Sort of an NFL team.
That's us getting back to normal time. Now we're back. Now we're back to week 7.
I want to know what our machine looks like. That's the next thing we got to get drawn.
We have to describe. It's radio. I mean, we'd have to describe it. I mean, that part's kind of tricky on our time machine. Let's take a look at our final two matchups. Baltimore taking on Seattle. We begin on the Baltimore side in Lamar Jackson, who faces really a schizophrenic Seahawks defense that's allowed some alarmingly huge games to some pretty mediocre quarterbacks. How about Andy Dalton putting up 418 yards? Jared Goff, 400 yards. Baker Mayfield, 250 and 2. And 2 of the last 3 quarterbacks they faced, rushing touchdowns against Seattle. I have reason to believe Lamar Jackson can run. Let's go to his receiving options. Mark Andrews, also an A grade. Andrews has seen at least 7 targets in every game, draws a good matchup with the Seahawks, who have struggled against tight ends. They're bottom 6 in receptions, bottom 6 in yards, bottom 6 in touchdowns allowed to the position.
Can we just start calling him Mandrew? Because he's a man among boys out there.
Mandrews?
Yeah.
Mandrews?
Mandrews.
Mandrew. I don't know. I think it's a little weird.
I know
I'll
you with your nicknames. So
I love my nicknames. Yeah. I'm not loving Mandrews.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If we get enough the people Mandrews. To hashtag Mandrews at us, then yes. But that might be what it takes. Marquise Brown is shaping up as a game time decision with an ankle injury. He has scored just once since the opener. He's caught 4 or fewer passes in 4 of the 5 games he's played in. And I don't love the matchup against cornerback Shaquille Griffin, who's got really good speed. He might be one of the fastest cornerbacks in the league. So, Brown's whole deal is speed. So I don't love Brown in this. I've got a bench grade on Marquise Brown, even if he does try to play through the ankle injury. Let's go to the running game where Mark Ingram gets a B grade. He may struggle with efficiency a little bit here. Seahawks only allowing 4.3 yards per carry, good for eighth best, but they are allowing the second most touchdowns to opposing ball carriers. Todd Gurley, Nick Chubb each found the end zone twice in Seattle's last two contests, so I still like Ingram. I've got a B grade on him because I don't think he blows up here. And actually, the biggest threat to Mark Ingram is Lamar Jackson, honestly. If he did not have such a prodigious rushing quarterback, I would have an A grade on Mark Ingram. Let's go to the Seattle side, shall we? Beginning with Chris Carson. Last week, Carson rushed for a season-high 124 yards on the ground to make it three straight 100-yard efforts, which is an awfully impressive turnaround from a guy that everybody expected to hit the bench. He was one fumble away from hitting the bench. He hasn't fumbled since then. And now he's probably earned enough equity that even if he did fumble once, it wouldn't automatically mean the bench for Chris Carson. He has scored 12 times in his last 13 games. In the last five games, the Ravens have allowed 8 touchdowns to running backs, and they've given up an uncharacteristic 4.8 yards per carry over the last five games. You'll notice all these Ravens stats. We're going back five games because they played Miami in the first week. And, of course, Miami can't do anything.
Yeah.
So this is back in the old days of Fantasy Football Weekly, when there was Oakland quarterback Jamarcus Russell.
Mm.
We nicknamed him Jamarcus Asterisk because we have to asterisk all of our stats because it'd be like, this team has given up 300 passing yards in five of six games because they faced Jamarcus Russell. Miami is the new asterisk. All right. Let's go to the passing game for the Seahawks. Russell Wilson, multiple touchdowns in five of six games, at least 240 passing yards in every game since the opener. Obviously, an elite fantasy quarterback, regardless of matchup. As for this one with Baltimore, they held down Ryan Fitzpatrick and Mason Rudolph and Andy Dalton, but got smoked by people at Wilson's level, like Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield and even Kyler Murray. Those guys all put up over 342 yards, so it's an A grade for Russell Wilson here. And if I like Wilson, it means I also like his receivers. Tyler Lockett gets an A grade. The Ravens allowing the fifth most yards per game to opposing wide receivers, and they've been particularly bad at the deep ball, allowing the third most passes of 40 yards or more. And obviously, that's Lockett's game, is the deep passing. He's so fast. 37% of Russell Wilson's attempts go for over 20 yards.
It's crazy.
And get this, he completes 72% of his passes of over 20 yards. That's nuts. Most quarterbacks are half that rate.
Quarterbacks are lucky to get that completion percentage overall.
Yes. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Even with Marcus Peters now on the Ravens, and even if Jimmy Smith returns, I don't care. Lockett, A grade here. And DK Metcalf, much of the same stuff I just said about Lockett and the deep ball, DK Metcalf's whole bit is run straight, run fast. So I like him in this one as well. He's already seen 8 targets of 20 or more yards, including both of his touchdowns, which came from outside of 20 yards. I like DK Metcalf with a B grade in this game as well. I would love to tell you about Will Disley. No point, unfortunately, in this one.
Sad.
That is sad. Our final matchup is the Monday night game, which is New England taking on the New York Jets. Scott, can I get 2 rushing touchdowns out of Tom Brady?
Yes, I mean he's their goal line back, right?
Why not, right? Yeah, easy.
Even if you don't get the touchdowns, I still have an A grade on Brady, who had 300 yards passing and 2 touchdowns in week 3, and Brady has 260 plus yards and multiple touchdowns in every game except for the staunch Bills defense game. Brady is also averaging 38 pass attempts per game. That's going to keep him firmly in the top 12 for this week for me. His main guy, Edelman. Brian Poole has only, the cornerback he's going to face in the slot, has only allowed 90 yards and no touchdowns from the slot this year. So it is a tough matchup, but I feel like he's going to get the targets and enough volume there to be probably a B start, maybe even better, but I'm definitely giving him a B at least. Gordon, Myers, Dorsett, all of that. Gordon didn't practice this week. Dorsett's coming back from injury, but was still limited. I'm not messing with the rest of those wide receivers. Sony Michel, I'm giving a C star to. He had 17 touches, 19 touches, 24 touches over the last 3 weeks. He's not getting the goal line work because that's Tom Brady's job, apparently.
It is. Well, James Devlin, dead to us.
James Devlin, dead
to us.
He's
an IR. The new fullback is Tom Brady.
Yeah, so Rex Burkhead, I don't know if he'll be back. He was limited in practice this week as well. He might be, but we don't know what to expect from him. He looked good when he was here earlier, but you can't start him.
No.
Whiteham's also given him a C grade because he's had 9 targets in three straight. They only resulted in 58 per game, but all it's going to take is one big one, and that turns into something, so a C grade there. On the Jets side, Sam Darnold, this is not the week. This is the one week I don't want to start him. Yeah. The Pats have only allowed one passing touchdown this year and held every QB under 165 yards passing since week one. That's like Mitchell Trubisky level. They've turned every quarterback into Mitchell Trubisky is what they've done.
Wouldn't Mitchell Trubisky be the best quarterback the Patriots have faced this season?
Well, there's that too. Yeah, exactly. Man.
Anderson is on the bench. I actually rewatched the Jets Patriots week 3 game this week. Stephon Gilmore was on him for every single snap except for one in the slot, and it was a bunched up 3 wide receiver snap.
Okay. So
Gilmore's going to shadow him, and the only 3 pass catches he caught were like super short, quick passes. I don't trust Anderson for anything with Gilmore all over him. Crowder was my take-home. Demaryius Thomas, sorry, it's a bad matchup with McCourty, who's much faster than you, and no matter what pass comes to you, he's going to get around it.
But a revenge game, Scott.
No.
It's the quickest turnaround revenge game in history, maybe.
No, didn't we have one where a guy like was cut in the next week?
Oh, yeah, that sort of rings a bell.
Yeah, probably. I don't remember who it was.
Actually, Ryan Grant is a quicker revenge game from Oakland to Green Bay.
Yeah, it's probably true.
And Le'Veon Bell, in rewatching that game, they were selling out to get to Luke Falk. Le'Veon Bell had his worst game of the year, 63 yards on 17 touches or whatever. He's going to have as many touches probably. He's averaging 22 a game. They're not going to sell out to get to Darnold like they did Luke Falk. Bell will not be jamming his face into that A-man front in this game. I think he's going to have a better grade, but I'm only giving him a C grade on volume. It's such a good run defense.
It sounds right.
It's sad with the return of Darnold, we won't be able to give Luke Falk an A. Moving forward.
Well enunciated. Anybody left in that matchup, or we covered everything?
No, we covered everything
right
there.
Sounds good. I want to talk about the Buffalo schedule. You were talking about the easy Jets schedule, particularly in the second half of the season. No team has an easier schedule over the next 5 weeks than Buffalo. Get this. Miami, this week. 5 games from now, Miami. What's the meat in the Miami sandwich for the schedule for the Buffalo Bills? Eagles, Redskins, Browns.
Ooh,
it doesn't get any easier than this.
No, if you would have traded the Browns for maybe the Falcons or something, maybe.
I mean, that's about Bengals, that's right. And the Browns have been a competent defense, but that's it, just competent.
Right.
So, given that, Josh Allen over those 5 games, will he be a top 5 fantasy quarterback?
I thought you were going to say, will he be a QB1 like he was last year for like a 4 or 5 game stretch?
Well, QB1 is like, you know, that's the top 12.
I think, well, no. I'm talking overall
number
QB1.
I think
you can make an argument that over the next 5 weeks, maybe he is the overall QB1 for the next 5 weeks.
He might be.
Well, he was for the last 5 weeks last season, right?
Right.
Again, anyone sniffed his production.
Exactly. When he faced Miami last year, the 2 games, he ran for 230 yards.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Yeah. If he could, please run for another 230. Josh Allen. And then Devin Singletary as well. He's gonna cash in on this
Singletary
and start his
season.
Career.
It's starting.
You're tingly, aren't you?
I'm excited.
You are excited. If you're excited by this show, please go to fanball.com/charge for more of my player rankings, my free $1,000 weekly contest, or your gateway to Guillotine Leagues, podcasts, and so much more. And thank you, everybody, who takes the time to rank and review this show on your podcasting platform of choice. It helps people around the country find it, which we always appreciate it. We'll be back next week for more Fantasy Football Weekly. Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.